Welcome to Postcast. After the Utah Jazz holed off the Washington Wizards in what got to be a bit of a nerve-wracking night, but some late-game clutch performance and the Jazz win 128-124. We'll talk about it coming up. Postcast is brought to you by The Store at 6th Street South and 20th East, home of the great Mudslide Cookie, the Locked On Mudslide Ice Cream. June pies come on Fridays, so you might want to get over there and see what's left on Saturday to get your family plus all the other great things at The Store at 6th Street South and 20th East. Ron, I never do this because Tony Parks does a great job and there's no need for me to do this, but I almost tonight told him what question I wanted asked. I wanted to know if the Jazz thought they played well.
That is one great question. I mean, and it's, I'm sure you get a lot of different answers from, you know, from certain players because, you know, in my department as a center, you know, I didn't play well because I didn't challenge this or I didn't get here or something like that. Whereas Rubio might say, you know, at my position, and I don't think players do that anymore, but I think collectively as a team, David, they would not think that their defense was good. I mean, the offense, you put up 128 points, you would have to think that something was good about it.
To our, even offensively, I thought we felt as though, and you saw there was a, one, the memory that sticks out for the night to me was there was a moment where Quinn Snyder came off the bench and was like, talk, like, that's always the sign to him of when the team is playing well or not, is when they're talking. And it just seemed as though they lacked some level of communication. Now, there's another side to this story, too, that we'll get to in a second, that this is the script on how to beat the Jazz defense. This has now been written by a few teams. But I thought that the Jazz just didn't seem sharp all night and evidently were good enough offensively against a bad defensive team to hold off.
Well, you know, as I said earlier, that in the first and second quarter, it you're not sharp. And then trying to get it back in the second half, and especially in that fourth quarter, especially defensively, sometimes you just can't get it because you're not that aggressive. And then it's just so hard to do. You planned against a team, you had just blew off the floor on their home floor. You knew they were shorthanded. You knew you were better. And, David, believe me, I've been there. It's just sometimes you think you're ready, but you're just not aggressive enough to be, you know, to get it done.
Now, the flip side is maybe the Jazz actually played much better than we're giving them credit for and that the script is out there on how to cause them problems. The last time the Jazz defense was not good was in Atlanta. And what did Atlanta have? Atlanta had Alex Len and Dwayne Dedmon, two big men you probably don't worry about, both playing outside, shooting threes, while they had a little guard that was penetrating and causing all sorts of problems in Trae Young. What do we have tonight? We had Bobby Portis taking 12 three-point shots from the center position, Thomas Bryant taking another five, pulling out Rudy Gobert much of the night, and having Bradley Beal or Satoransky had 9 assists tonight, get into the paint, and the Jazz, you know, Zach Guthrie said to us at halftime, the Jazz guards were not doing a good enough job of denying one-on-one dribble penetration, and that is a little bit of a weakness on this team. They are a great systematic defensive team. They're not a great one-on-one defensive team.
Yeah, and this is where they miss probably Dante Exum, you know. I think Royce O'Neal is a pretty good ball-on-ball defender, but he was in foul trouble tonight. You can see Quinn had him in and out of the basketball game. But you're absolutely right. Whenever teams are able to break the paint and Gobert has to help out, now they're kicking it out to those three-point shooters. And Portis, incidentally, those two guys, Bryant and Portis, both had 25 rebounds between the two tonight there as well.
So the Jazz really, I don't know, hard to say the Jazz got outplayed when they put up 128 points themselves. But the Jazz, this was not a Jazz basketball game, I think would be the way to say it. They didn't do what the Jazz usually do.
Well, you find a way to win, though. And I'm sure they're glad they won the ball game, not satisfied with the way they did win it. But the key here is that you know you're in a stretch where you can't afford to lose a basketball game, and Quinn expects something better, something more, and not to lose focus. Have focus when the ball game starts and not try to regain it and get it done all in the fourth quarter.
Well, elsewhere tonight, or also tonight, the Jazz at the free throw line finished 18 of 18 at the line. They finished 13 of 13 in the fourth quarter. That was mammoth. Donovan Mitchell, who has not been particularly good in the clutch late of games this year, had made some big plays late in the ball game. He had a nice little floater and made some other plays late that certainly helped the Jazz out. So they did do exactly what Ron said and made the plays. And then around the league today, Portland just keeps winning. They've won six in a row. They are now only three games out of the number one seed, which after the Warriors lost to Minnesota and Denver won in Oklahoma City, is now tied between Denver and Golden State for the number one seed in the West. Houston is at 28 losses. The Jazz are at 30. And the nice thing for the Jazz with Oklahoma City losing is that's now 32 losses for the Thunder. The Jazz don't have that tiebreaker, but the Jazz hopefully can get through the rest of this without losing more than once. So they know they can stay ahead of Oklahoma City, and then we'll see whether or not what happens with Houston and Portland. The worst scenario, by the way, here is that Houston sits in four, you end up in five, and then you're on the same bracket as both the Rockets and the Warriors, which you certainly don't want. It would be very curious to me if, just a wild scenario, is if the Jazz and the Clippers on the final night of the year are playing for the winner getting the fifth seed to play the Rockets or the sixth seed to get the Blazers, what effort two teams might go to not win a game.
Yeah, it's fun, huh? It's going to be fun. There's a game going in the top three or the top four. Then there's some positioning and games being played in the bottom four. That meant this is really exciting. Right down to the wire, that means you can't be resting players. You can't be, say, load management or nothing like that. You got to go and play basketball and get yourself in the right position.
And tomorrow, Portland is in Detroit, so that'll be the one we'll watch most closely tomorrow. Sacramento is at Houston. We'll try to see if the Kings can pull one off there. We're off for the weekend. We'll see you Monday when the Jazz play the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets play in L.A. tonight and play the Warriors the night before they play us, so they'll be on the back end of a back-to-back, but they are desperately trying to fight their way back into the playoff picture. They're currently in 10th, having won four straight and a game and a half out of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. This has been Postcast. Have a great night.